All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back here to Young Catholics Respond. This is Bill Snyder, your host, and we've got a great show here planned for you today. Don't hesitate. Give us a call at 262-374-5174. Again, that number is 262-374-5174. You can email us as well at info@patchworkheart.org, at info@patchworkheart.org, or you can tweet us at PWH Ministry, at PWH Ministry. Today we're going to lead off the show with an interesting story about the great-great-granddaughter of Darwin. And the National Catholic Register .com put out this great story on the great-great-granddaughter, Laura Keynes, Laura Keynes, K-E-Y-N-E-S. It is her story about how she has now found faith in the Catholic Church. In fact, she is working with one of the largest Catholic apologetic organizations in Great Britain called Catholic Voices. And so that's a really cool website you should check out, catholicvoices.org, I believe it is. But it's an interesting article about her on the National Catholic Register. And why? Well, because Darwin is most cited by atheists for his evolutionary theory, and that God, the creator of an intelligent being, or the creation of an intelligent being, does not hold true, or you know that therefore God doesn't be needed in this thing because we were just evolved from a frog. Well, so atheists would be rather surprised to see this great-great-great-granddaughter of, actually, it's great-great-great-granddaughter of the Father Evolution. She says that her baptism was reanimated by an intellectual pursuit of hers. The more knowledge she gained, the more she realized that God is not present, or that God is present in the world and in her life. So that's what this Laura Keynes says. According to the commonly held view about her great-great-great-grandfather, Charles Darwin, Laura Keynes has apparently broken all the rules in developing a passionate Catholic faith. She speaks, she witnesses to the faith in many different ways, and she said that her faith, and this is interesting, her faith was brought about by when her grandmother got sick. During her grandmother's long-term illness, Keynes explains that she returned to the rosary during these long hours at her bedside, and she was reminded of the redemptive power of Christ's suffering. So I think when we see humanity hit its bottom points, when the chips are down, evolution doesn't provide any solace. And that's where atheism, that's where agnosticism fails. Because the human experience of suffering, or the human experience of discomfort, or having to watch someone else suffer or go through a difficult time in their lives, evolution has no explanation for that. Atheism has no explanation for that. It reduces us to mere beings that with no soul. That is what it reduces God's creation to. Want to talk about creation? Want to talk about how we got here? It reduces the process of creation or of evolution to just the most fit survive. The most fit survive. And I hate to tell you, but as a human being with emotions, even the world's greatest atheists have human emotions, right? They experience all of this as well, suffering and death. and all of those things they get to experience throughout their lives. She, being an atheist or really agnostic, this Laura Keenis, returned to the rosary during those long hours by her bedside and was reminded of the redemptive power of Christ's suffering through the rosary. That conversion of heart, if and when atheists reduce themselves and all other God's creation to the fittest survive, can't have that experience. And so, again, seeing her grandmother's death made her question what it is, where it comes from, and where it goes. So by this point, she was developing a spiritual awareness, she says. She hadn't made the step back to the church, but that step came after much reading and reflection. You see, there's a trigger moments in someone's life. And if we're vigilant Catholics, we can catch those trigger moments in other people's lives. People tend to turn to the church. People tend to turn to faith when the chips are down, when there is suffering, when there is pain. They tend to turn to the church, or they tend to get so angry at God, and I've seen this too, where they tend to get so angry at God that they can't reconcile those that an all merciful being or all loving being would ever do this. And at that point is when we as good Catholics can enter in and bring people to the church. So through her grandmother's death, Laura Keenis understood and came to understand Christ by questioning where suffering comes from. Did she get an answer about that? No, she didn't get an answer about that. She didn't develop the answer of where suffering comes from. And guess what? We as humans don't get that answer on this earth. There's a lot of questions about suffering, and the best theologians cannot explain it. So don't expect me to be able to tell you anything about suffering or where it comes from or why we have it, because guess what? I don't know. I don't know. All I do know is that uniting our sufferings to the cross of Christ, recognizing that Christ redeems us through suffering, helps us to understand that Jesus Christ is present and working with us to bring about something greater from our suffering. But why we suffer, that's a monstrous question that would take a month to just think about and explore before we can even get to talking about it. Inside our heads, we have to just ruminate on that. It's a lifetime, not a month. It's a lifetime worth of exploration. So now, what happened to Keenis? Laura Keenis, what happened to her after she had this awareness? She was spiritually aware of something happening inside her very real soul. Is this possible that one of Darwin's descendants, who should be more evolutionary, farther along the evolutionary process from such a great strain of genius like Darwin, has gone back to the Catholic Church? Time out here. Atheists, I want you to understand what I'm trying to say. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say here if you're an atheist or if you're questioning God here for just a second. Evolution is based on generations of the fittest survive. And atheists will claim that those who believe in God are are primitive compared to somebody who is freed from the pursuit of religion. So, if atheists are further along the this chain of evolution, if you're further along that chain, what? What? Darwin's granddaughter has reverted to atheism. Or, I mean, not to atheism, to Catholicism. From atheism to Catholicism. So, what? We're now going to say that a descendant of Darwin is further behind on the evolutionary process. Is that what you're going to argue? Because that doesn't work in my book. This is, it goes the contrary to everything that Catholicism represents to me, or atheism represents to me. Now, what happened to Keenis? I got interrupted there for a second. But what happened to Keenis after she started practicing her Catholic faith? Well, some of her friends and family started questioning her about this on occasion. She says that she was never out, you know, off-putting, you know, it's so gregarious. Oh, now I'm a Jesus freak. She never was, like, you know, proclaiming from the sidewalks or the streets that now she had, that now that she had found God. But she began to, live her Catholic faith, and once she started living her Catholic faith, it was evident to some people that she had found religion. So this is what she says about her family. She says, "My family is terribly English. We don't do emotion, and we certainly don't do intensely personal spiritual experiences. So the word didn't get out until my confirmation, when I invited my father. That's when it became clear to them that this was some kind of vague personal that this wasn't some kind of vague personal spirituality, which would have to be tolerated, so long as I kept it to myself. But I actually signed up to organized religion." So she's saying that, you know, she didn't live out this. It wasn't incredibly evident until she received her confirmation, and when she did, they realized, "Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! I'm signing up to be part of an organized Catholic, an organized religion, the Catholic faith. This isn't some like vague spirituality that I'm going off and, you know, believing that butterflies are, you know, whatever, butterflies and unicorns exist and all that stuff. That's not what this faith is for her. It was something real and tangible and organized and put together and coherent and intellectually coherent." And then the next time that there was a family meal, she said, someone declared, "I hear you've gone all Christian." Being Christian colored everything about me, totally defining me. I hadn't become a religious fundamentalist, but that's the box that they were putting me in, she says. So now, you know, people who are atheists were going, "Well, now you've gone all Christian. Now you are Darwin. You understand that you are Darwin's great, great, great granddaughter, and you are, and you are now Christian. In fact, you are this big Bible-beating Christian that goes against everything our family line stands for." And yet, that's not what Christianity was either. She said, "No, I'm not getting put into the right box here. You're not putting me in the right box." And so she began getting attacked unprovoked when all she wanted to do was get on with her quiet little lunch, she says, in several different occasions, she was getting attacked for her Christianity and her Catholicism. And she would politely state, yes, I'm Catholic, da-da-da-da-da, and people would either be baffled or indifferent as they just would walk away going, oh, is what she says. So this is important for us as Catholics because, first of all, Laura Keenis is so out there and so public. You can check out all the great things she's doing at Catholic Voices. You can see that. But again, just to emphasize that she is the great-great-great-granddaughter of Darwin. Evolution is falling apart for these atheists if this is the case, right? If, again, we'll go back to it because I think it's an important point to make. If the entire premise of evolution is that the bad ones are weeded out, the ones who are not superior are weeded out, they're eaten alive, if that's the case, then we would expect by three generations or so of such an intellectually superior line from Darwin, as atheists would put it, to be rid of any traces of religion. Because, as atheists would say, that is something that is inferior. That is something that is not advancing the human race. That is going backwards to fairy tales. If that's truly what it is, and that's really what it comes down to being, it's fairy tales, then explain to me why three generations or four generations later, you have the great-great-great-great-granddaughter of the father of evolution converting willingly to the Catholic faith and practicing it, not only practicing it, but becoming an evangelist in the world and all over Britain and all, as part of this Catholic Voices. If this is intellectually not superior, if we are being too primitive, your argument falls apart here. My friends that are atheists, this falls apart. So, give us a call, 262-374-5174, 262-374-5174, info@patchworkheart.org, or you can also tweet us at PWH Ministry, at PWH Ministry. This is Young Catholics Respond. I am your host, Bill Snyder. We'll be right back after this as we journey right along here on Young Catholics Respond.